fun to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Hey, and boy, what a beautiful morning it is. It's springtime in Marion and elsewhere around Ohio. Finally. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Is there a chance of a shower tomorrow? It seems like if I just listened to our forecast, I wasn't paying any attention. But, oh, if we could just get a week of dry weather, we could get our crops planted, hopefully. Can you imagine, though, like the Morrow companies, they're in business of supplying a custom application of various products to our fields and all kinds of service, and they haven't been able to do anything in the way of service work because of the wet fields, and that's the way all over, my goodness. And so you can be glad if you're not a farmer. That's one big worry you wouldn't have. Oh, my. Okay, let's get busy here. Let's see. We're back into our 30-day period between winters, which is standard practice, of course. Okay, and I've got a bunch of questions. Oh, here. Well, let me see. Yes, go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Charlie.
Well, yes, good morning.
Do you mind if I test your memory?
Go ahead.
Okay. Because this has been quite a few years ago, but you may remember it, because it was, to me, it was just, number one, it was scary, but whatever. Now, this is Sharon Russell.
Yes.
We were at the Waldo Park because we were having the bike tour, and it came up a big storm, and the storm hit a telephone pole, and that telephone pole splintered and sent all those huge splinters down into the ground, and they just stuck there like stakes.
Was that at the Waldo Park?
That
right?
was at the Waldo Park, yes. And you were right there because pointed it out to you. I said, "Look at that, Charlie."
Yeah, right. I remember now.
Yeah, oh, it was scary.
Yes, my.
Because one of those could have impaled someone, you know. But we were back there under the shelter.
Yeah, it could have stuck us to the ground.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy.
Well, I just was curious as if you'd remember
that.
Yeah,
oh, that was a long time ago. That was one of the earlier hot tamales.
Hot tamale, yeah.
Oh, my. I was just telling Scott we used to deliver cookies to your house.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. Cookies, cookies, cookies. And then, of course, I always went out and bought dozens and dozens of strawberries.
Oh, yes.
And I think it was Tom, I was trying, Tom Rusnak.
Yes.
Somebody went down and got the hot tamales in Columbus.
That's right. I remember that year that we ate hot tamales. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was exciting, and but it's been a number of years ago now, but
right.
I was just curious if you remembered that.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, that reminds me of Tom the biker. Not Rusnak, but Tom, he worked at Farm Bureau.
Yeah, now you've, Tom,
we were both SAG operators on the hot, not on the popcorn ride.
Uh-huh.
Tom, oh.
Well, it'll come.
Yes, it will. It'll suddenly pop into our brains.
I know.
But Tom used to ride to work every day, I remember.
Yes, you'd see him on his bicycle all the time.
And I haven't heard anything from him in a long time.
Well, no, I haven't. I can't say that I've heard his name or anything about him. Carol, was that his wife's name?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Well, maybe I'll hear before the hour is up.
Or we'll figure out his name.
Yes.
Okay, Charlie.
Okay, Sharon. All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that now. See, I'd forgotten that. But yeah, we were down there at the Waldo Park, which is the origination point of the Hot Tamale Bike Tour. And when lightning hit that pole and splinters came off and buried themselves in the ground, you looked and say, well, fortunately, I wasn't under there. Oh, my. Yeah, that was something. The force of lightning. Wow. Okay, now let me see. What else do I have here? Here's a weather-related question. What is the system that guides the weather? Pretty much. There is a system that guides our weather, pulls it in, sends it across the country. What do they call it? 7403-39944. Yeah, it's a well-known thing that was not discovered until after or during maybe World War II. They discovered its role in weather and aviation and so forth. What is it called? It seemed like somebody said 1947, but that was after the war. But when did they discover this thing that guides the weather over us? 7403-839-944. I have to give away yet a large Jags T-shirt and a coffee cup, a CRT coffee cup. And, soon we'll be having zoo tickets and things like that, so keep listening. 11:22 is the time. Okay, so what guides the weather? And it's a big, big thing, guiding the weather. Okay. Now, I've got something else. This would take you back. Maybe not. What item in a car, in the car's interior, has the wrong title? The title given to it is not what it's for. And it's on the inside of your car. It's not the seats, not the headrest, anything like that. There is something inside your car that we call something, and it's not used for that. But that's what it's known as. Can you figure that one out? Yeah, scratch your head a couple of times. What is that item inside an automobile that has a name, but it's not used for what the name says? Okay, figure it out. All right, what else do I have here? A flower that has to do with something in not reality. Something that there's an advertisement on TV. So what is it for the an advertisement for the the gambling thing in Ohio, the Ohio Lottery. There's this thing that spits fire. Well, there's a flower out there, a common flower that you buy in a greenhouse, of course, that has part of that in its name. What would it be? Something in the mythical era, a flower. And it does what this flower does, what the title of that flower says. Is that confusing? It is to me. You can actually manipulate this flower to do what it's titled as out of mythology. Well, if you can figure that out, you're a better person than me. So, and I haven't planted any of those flowers this year. Sometimes I do. But I haven't for quite a while because as a kid, you would always walk up to one of these plants and operate it. Okay. Now, that's one question. Now, another question is this. If you were to go to Seattle, Washington, and try to find something, well, a tourist attraction, where everybody goes, it seems like, in Seattle, what would that place be? The top tourist attraction in Seattle, Washington. Yeah, figure that one out. And now, I tell you what, did you hear about the two planes that collided, the seaplanes up in Saskatchewan and Juneau and that area up there. Those planes were, you see, when you take a tour or when you go on, say, a cruise, all these things are offered. In other words, the people that were on board these planes that are now deceased, for the most part, they were offered, you know, for a certain fee, maybe $50 or $75, to board one of these planes and fly all around that area there, the old area where, you know, has a lot of history. And two of these seaplanes are, you know, they had the floats on them. They land and take off on water. They collided, and it's hard to understand how those two could collide. There's a lot of space out there for two planes to get that close to collide. Now, the thing is, the passengers of one of the cruise ships, well, there, I guess two different cruise ships were involved, passengers that rented or bought flights aboard those planes. The one ship was called the Pacific Princess. And the Pacific Princess was the same cruise line or ship that was seen in what made cruising so popular. Remember what was the name of that program that every week it involved people aboard a cruise ship? And it was the Princess Lines. And when I was going, I took a group of people from Marion to Alaska back in the 1980s. And we had left Seattle, and we were going up along the coast, and here comes another cruise ship in the opposite direction. And so I look over, and I could see the name quite clearly, Pacific Princess. Well, the Pacific Princess, like I say, was the ship used in that television story, Pacific Princess. And that was one of the cruise ships that, well, the people died that were on that plane. Okay, good morning. We're on the air.
The Love Boat.
The Love Boat, yes. That's what it was. The Love
that's
Boat.
That's right.
Pacific Princess, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Hey, how are things going?
They're going. We, for the Wings and Wheels this year, we're proud to announce that Ohio Health, for the third consecutive year, has made a very generous donation sponsorship for us. So we're slowly getting close to that the budget.
Oh, okay, good. And thank me for being a customer of Ohio Health over the past month or two.
Uh-huh. So yeah. We're really, you know, we're closing in on
all right.
Our
well,
budget.
That's good to hear.
We still use a few more, and at some point soon, we'll be promoting all of those who have made it possible for this year and that.
Well, that's great. That's nice to hear that Ohio Health jumped in there. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
They did
very
last
good.
Year, too, right?
Yep, past 2 years.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
What it takes. Okay.
Talk with you the next time I talk.
Yes,
with you.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
The Love Boat, yes. Pacific Princess, the Love Boat. And that was some passengers aboard that Love Boat had bought tickets for those seaplanes, and that's what I was getting at. Okay. Well, it's now 11:30. My goodness, time is flying today. So I still have some unanswered questions, one of them, and I'll read it to you right now, but don't call until after the break. There's something inside your car that has a title, but it's not used for that. No, it's not a gear shift. Something inside the interior of your car that it's not used for what the title says. Figure that one out. 740-333-9944.
Scott, did you know that Martha Dowse and George Casillas were taught to dance by Marion native and Miss America Marilyn Meskey?
I had heard that.
What you didn't know was that after Marilyn taught them how to dance, that George gave her a gift.
Oh, really? What was that?
Two jugs of olive oil and a box of lemons.
George's calling card, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Oh, okay. I'm back. All right. Now, let me see. What was I asking you? Oh, yeah. What guides the weather over, well, actually, the planet Earth? But we notice it guiding the weather over the United States. What is that system that does that? Also, what is it inside your car? If you're listening to me right now in a car, it's to your right. Okay, if you're behind the wheel. Okay, now if you're in downtown Seattle, Washington, what would you do if you were an average tourist? Or a question about a flower. There is a flower, it's rather common, you could buy it in a greenhouse and plant it, that in the title of this particular flower, it has something mythical in the title. Is that right? Mythical, or it's like a Jurassic Park mythical, or it's like the fire-breathing something or other you see occasionally on TV. Okay, here we go. This might be it. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Would it be the glove compartment?
The garage?
No, glove.
Oh, glove. Yes, that's it.
Is that it?
Yeah, the glove compartment. It's not used for gloves necessarily.
Yes, right.
Everything else,
Everything
though.
Everything else.
Yes, oh my goodness.
Yes, I should say.
Okay, would you like a prize today?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
I just like to listen to you and see if I know the answer.
Okay, glove compartment. All right, fine.
Yeah, and I do have a question.
Yes.
Who won the two tickets for the rock and roll?
Brenda Griffith, I think was her name.
Brenda Griffith.
Yes.
All right. Well, she got a very nice gift.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy.
All right, Charlie.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot to mention that Brenda Griffith won that last Friday afternoon. Okay. Well, let me see what else concerning your car. Oh, there's something on the outside of your car that is not used anymore, but once was a very important thing, I think, for some, occasionally. And it's not there anymore. You won't find it on any cars today. Now, what would that thing be? What did they eliminate on an automobile that used to be standard on all cars? And it was on the exterior. Now, you might say it could be a radio antenna. But we have those radio antennas. They've condensed them down into just a little tiny thing on top of your car instead of that spindly whip thing that people used to break off when they were ornery in your car. Remember that? Well, some of you still have those. But these things on top of your car also are good satellite receiving antennas. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Are you talking about the bumpers on cars?
And the bumper? No.
Where you stepped up to get into the,
well,
it was by the door?
Okay, yeah, that's a running board.
Yes.
Well,
I haven't seen him for so long, I forgot. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I... Okay. Would you like anything for a prize?
No, I just wanted to call in.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
Bye.
All right. The running board. Yeah. Oh, how many of you ever rode on a running board? Now, that would be interesting because it wasn't the safest thing. But if you rode on the running board, you had to reach your arm in and hold on to something. Yeah, the running board. Now, I remember the door handles back when I was a kid. I used to tie my cane fishing poles onto those door handles. Remember that? Yeah. Now, some people got really
smart, and if the cane pole was long enough, they would shove it underneath the car and tie one end to the rear bumper and the other end to the front bumper, and you went to your favorite fishing hole with your poles tied under your car. However, most of us tied our fishing poles onto our front handle and rear handle on our car. Remember that? Yeah, I know I'm talking to young people that never experienced anything, never fished with a cane pole. I still have over a dozen cane poles that I need to give away. I used to take senior citizens fishing every year, and I needed cane poles for that. And I had enough cane poles given to me to supply the seniors. Now, all those seniors have passed away that I took fishing. And it was a lot of fun because most of them had never been fishing in later years since they were kids. And they really enjoyed going out to the Police Athletic Association pond and fishing. And some of them really caught some nice bass. And yeah, that was a few years ago. Okay, and now let me see, what else do I have here? The tourist attraction in Seattle, Washington. Now, I've been there once. In fact, my grandson, Jacob Hutchinson, is a Marine and stationed up in the Seattle area. And I bet he's been in that tourist attraction. Everyone occasionally, you know, I'm sure, at one time or another, enjoys going up into that tourist attraction in Seattle. Now, what's it called? I'm really proud. I've got two of my grandsons in military service, Jacob Hutchinson in the Marines and Brandon McAfee in the Air Force. Makes me feel good. And I hope that they always stay safe. Wow. Okay, let me see. We got the glove box, didn't we? Okay. And let me see. We haven't... The flower. Can you imagine when you were a kid, this flower had a name that tempted you to do something to that flower? Yeah. And it's also related to a mythical thing. Can you... You know... It's not all that difficult, perhaps. But as a kid, you would walk up to this flower and do something to it. Now, what was the name of that flower? Gotcha. Okay. All right. Oh, here, I bet this is a winner. Yes, go ahead, caller.
A snapdragon?
Yes, a snapdragon.
I used to do that so many times.
Me too, yeah.
And then there used to be a trumpet plant.
Oh, yes. In fact, I've got trumpet flowers all over our backyard.
My cousin and I, we'd climb on top of the garage roof and snap those, and his mother would get after, "Don't snap those."
I can remember putting them on my fingers.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I should say. But there was just something about the snapdragon. You just wanted to...
Well, yeah, it tempted you to snap.
That must be why they're called snapdragon.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. All right, darling.
Okay, thanks. Uh-huh. All right. Yeah, that brings back memories, I hope, to you, too. The snapdragon, when as a kid you would walk up to it and press down on the bottom lip-like of the snapdragon to see it snap. And that's how it got its name. Okay. Oh, here's a caller. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Charlie, how you doing today?
Yeah, all right.
What you looking for in Seattle is called the spear.
It's called what?
The spear, flower spear.
Okay, you mean the space needle? Is that what you're calling a space needle?
Yeah, the spear.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, yeah. Okay, Bob, you want to win anything today?
No, I'm good, though.
Okay, very good, Bob. Yeah. Thanks. Okay, yeah. The Seattle Space Needle. That's the tall tourist attraction in downtown Seattle. Now, when I was in Seattle, was there for, just a day, I was more interested in eating seafood. Oh, here we go.
Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, Charlie, that's a name you was figuring out, Tom Bostick.
Tom Bostick, yes, yes.
Well, Tom and I, when the Tall Grass Trail was going to be beginning, I don't think they got it purchased yet, but somebody got a jump start on it and thought, well, go out there and plant some pine trees there at Holland and Road where it makes the turn, and then the road, the Tall Grass Trail
yes.
starts going west on the old Erie. And so Tom and I, we met down there at the credit union on Kenton Avenue. Well, we was there. I remember him. And then there was a woman with two young children. And then here come a man and a woman with a with the small pine trees. And we were to plant those down along there, about 200 of them.
Wow.
So, man, what is that thing now, Charlie? Put your mind at work that there's that tool that you, like a pick or something you put, but there's a name for that to plant pine trees. What the heck is it? I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. I know what you mean.
You know what I'm talking about. But
yeah.
Anyhow, now you try to do that down around the Erie main track and all the stone and stuff to go through. That was a job. But Tom and I, we was planting those trees down there.
Wow.
A woman, a little girl. And you know what? There's only about 6 or 8 inches, you know.
Yes.
I went out and checked on those, and I thought, how in the name of goodness are they ever going to grow with the weeds are five times taller than them?
Yeah.
But it never happened, but we had pine trees from Holland Road going clear out there, and
wow.
I think the farmer was still farming the area, and they got a jump start on things like a lot of people get excited about something and get those planted, and then have pine trees all down on there.
Right.
Didn't materialize, but that's Tom Bostick.
Yeah, that's good. Isn't it something how you forget names? Tom, I knew for many, many years. In fact, the two of us used to be sag wagons for the Popcorn 100 bike tour.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, okay. Well, thanks a lot.
All righty, Charlie.
Okay,
bye.
Yeah, no. Is Tom Bostick still bicycling today? I would think he would be. He rode to work every day on his bicycle, weather or no weather. Okay. Now let me see what else I've got here. How about the company that ended up with, with the Merriam Power Shovel Company? It was at first the Merriam Power Shovel Company's largest competitor. They both tried to get jobs that the other got, you know, for manufacturing large shovels. What was the main competitor with the Merriam, early with the Merriam Steam Shovel Company? And this company was not that far away. What was the competitor? And all these big shovels are gone now. Unless it be in some foreign country yet, still working, but we stopped strip mining in America. And when we stopped that, it was no longer a site for these shovels that we were producing here in Marion. One of the very first was called the Mountaineer, or the Peabody Coal Company, I think, bought it. And it mined, or, well, here we go. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Yeah,
would that be Cyrus Erie? Yes, Bucyrus Erie. Right, you're right, Bob. Hey, thanks a lot. Okay,
yeah.
All right. Yeah, the Bucyrus Erie Company. Now, the ironic thing is, you know, the Dresser Company came along in 1977 and bought the Merriam Power Shovel Company. Later on, they sold it to somebody else, and that somebody sold it to somebody else, and then it left Merriam. That's what happened to Merriam Power Shovel Company. But the company that ended up with it was the people that originally owned the Bucyrus Erie Company. Interesting, eh? The big competitor ended up actually buying the Merriam Power Shovel
Company. From NBC News, this is Today with Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira.
Wow, that was a special morning doing the opening for the Today Show in 2011.
Yes, but you know what? There was a downside.
What was that?
having to share a dressing room with Willard Scott. Smucker jars everywhere.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Okay, we're back once again, and the time is 11:46. We're like only 13 and a half minutes away from the news at noon. Remember those days? Yeah, we used to have, in early radio, a news program, the News at Noon. Well, now they have, is that what they call it on TV anymore? News at Noon? Okay, what's interesting, at 6 o'clock in the evening, they'll say, and now the 5 o'clock news. Well, it started at 5, but now it's 6, but it's still the 5 o'clock news. All right, so what do we have here? Seattle Space Needle, we got that answer. Okay, what else? Oh, the what system guides the weather across the United States? What is it that brings us the weather? And it varies in, so much in direction, but yes, it does. Yeah, you see it. Yeah, sometimes it moves all around. Now, what is it I'm talking about? The large guiding system for our weather. Yeah, it brings us rain, that's for sure. But it was brought out during World War II, the existence of this system. And it ended up being utilized, I do believe, in warfare. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll interrupt you one more time, but yes. I'll make it quick. That Peabody Coal Company, they had a place down in the town, I don't know if it was like Beavertown, Kentucky, or Beavertown, Ohio, but it was close to the border. But anyhow, we was coming back from the Grand Ole Opera. That was one of the old operas there. Todd, he's 55 now, and that must have been about 54 years ago, because he's about a year old. But we was coming there, and Carol's dad, he was the boss over there at the shovel and erecting. And they had a drag line down there, and he said, hey, we can follow that drag line back there, that big cable, and that huge thing, like a big snake, for about a half mile or three quarters of a mile. Got back there, and there was that drag line. And he talked to the Caterpillar driver. He said, hey, he said, I work down there, and my son-in-law works there, and would like to know if we can go up in there and see that. And he said, well, yeah, you probably could, but he said, that don't stop. That runs 24/7. He said, now, if you've got the capability of getting that, boy, you never do it today, but you, if on the swing, it's a momentarily stop there, and then he'll make a swing the other way. And he said, so my father-in-law said, yeah, we can get on there. And I said, oh, man, this is a challenge. So here come the swing, and the ladder was down there, and Carol was with me, and her dad got on there. He climbed the ladder up there and went up, and then there was an enclosure, and we went seesawed up there to the control stand, and Carol was right there. I was behind her. She went up there, and we was up in one of those drag lines. Now, the only thing is, being electric like that, the only thing you could hear was the clink of the chain when it'd make a reverse movement back or forth.
Okay.
And the gearboxes was up there, and I got to go back in the gearboxes, because when I worked there, we built the gearboxes, and you could hear those precision gears just slushing in the oil. That's all you could hear, and you just turn back in one of them hollers and doing that. So I thought, and that control panel was only about 3 foot, if it was 3 foot wide, and 6 to 8 inches, and it had about 10 or 12 levers.
Wow.
This little
yes.
3-inch levers, and he controlled that whole thing. And that Caterpillar was a huge monster thing, boy. But that was the thrill of our life back in our first years married. I worked down there from 62, 63, and then 64, and then I went on the railroad in 64. The woman called from the shovel, and she said, "Hey, Mr. Joff, you're going to have to come back to work." And I said, "Well, I'm not going to come back." She said, "Oh, you got to come back." I said, "Well, I'm going to go to work tomorrow on the railroad." And she said, "Okay."
So,
yeah, that was the drag line down there, that Peabody Coal Company. And one real quick one, he retired, and then after he retired, they had trouble down in Africa about this drag line, and they couldn't get the bearings in it. And they, all the engineers up here, they couldn't figure it out. Well, engineers on paper are terrific, but on the field, my father-in-law Carol's dad was terrific too. He's down there, and they said, "If you don't get this thing running, we're going to cancel the contract." He said, "I think we can get it running," and so he said it took him 3 or 4 days to figure it out. They get the tolerances just perfect, and they was ready to put the bearings in, and the thing would be off tolerance. And the sand down there that was sinking down, so he said, "I want some blocking. I mean, I want a lot of blocking." So they brought in a lot of blocking. When he got through blocking, that baby was up, and the bearings in it, and the gears and stuff put in it, and he won the war with Peabody.
That's good. Oh, wow.
Good one, Charlie.
Yeah, thanks. Now, see, that gives you an indication of how Marion was built, really. How, you know, all these men worked for the Marion Power Shovel. They were the engineers, more or less like scientists, designing and developing. Can you imagine developing right in Marion drag lines for strip mining that were huge, that used enough electricity to light a small city? But there they were. The one I saw was in Cadiz, Ohio. And that was the Mountaineer was the title of it. And it said the Mountaineer Peabody Coal Company. Now, another thing, the name Peabody, as some people that are a little more delicate used to call it Peabody because they didn't want to say Peabody. They called it Peabody. And so it goes. Another part of history. 11:52 and a half is the time. So how are you doing out there? Now, what happened to the shovels, the drag lines? Well, I tell you, it was a Marion company. I'm pretty sure it was Sims Brothers that were hired to come and cut up the Mountaineer into little pieces and recycle that iron. That's right. And if I'm mistaken about that, probably some of you listening worked for Sims and were involved in the cutting up of the huge Mountaineer. And that happened because strip mining stopped being. And the same way, there was another shovel built by a competitor, and they saved the bucket on it. The bucket's on display. You could hold maybe 6 cars in the bucket alone. It sits along a highway in southern Ohio. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, that weather system, is that a jet stream?
Yes, the jet stream. Yes, indeed. Okay.
Okay.
Now, would you like a prize today?
No, thanks.
Okay.
I just wanted to answer.
Okay, well, good enough. Okay,
all
thanks.
All right, bye.
All right, bye. So he just answered the last of my questions, I think. Let me see here. Yes, for this day today. Now, tomorrow, let me see if I can give you a hint here. We have some questions involving ships, cars, buildings, and chemical, or not chemicals, but minerals. Questions for tomorrow. Right now it's 11:55 Eastern Standard Time. So is anyone listening that worked for Sims Brothers when it came to dismantling the Mountaineer over in Cadiz? Now, I can remember one of my first bicycle tours across Ohio. Oh, and incidentally, one of my bikers was at Kingston yesterday in the audience. Wow. And he
he still is a tree, he cuts trees. What was his, kept trying to remember his last name, but he was the strongest biker in my group. Now, I usually had about 18 people going across Ohio every year, and he was the strongest. He could go up hills without flinching. Powerful. My. Everybody said, how does he do it? But he did it. Okay. But that was a long time ago. Like I say, is there anyone that used to work at Sims that were involved in dismantling some of these big drag lines like the Mountaineer over in Cadiz? Now, Cadiz rings a bell, too, because on one of my bike tours, now, Cadiz, incidentally, is the home, or was the home of Clark Gable. Do you remember that? Yeah, Clark Gable was from that little tiny town in eastern, oh, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, was that Kieran?
Yes, Kieran, yes.
Yeah, his dad was a teacher over there at Edison.
Yes.
Yeah, he is a strong guy. He done a couple of trees for me out here, and I said, man, I said, you're strong just like your father. And he said, yeah, that's what people tell me. So, yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
He could just take something with his hands, and didn't look like a huge man. He's just a guy.
That's right.
The way he handled a chainsaw with one hand up there, and
he
cut things off and shoved them off just like this. Just,
yeah. Let's see, his first name was Brian, was it? Brian Kieran.
I think so, yeah. A nice guy.
Oh, yeah, very nice, yes.
See you, Charlie.
Okay. All right. I'll write that name down so I don't forget again. Yeah, Brian Kieran was there yesterday, and, wow, okay. It was a lot of fun talking to those people. But once again, if you weren't listening when I first started, there was a lady in the audience that came up to me afterwards and said, Charlie, do you remember you were from Bucyrus? You lived at the corner of Lucas and Spring Street. I said, well, yes. She said, well, I lived across the street from you. And and then, you know, we started recalling names of everybody we grew up with. That was really unbelievable. How many times have you had occasions like that, running into somebody from out of your past, but running into someone 70-some years in your past? Well, you got to be pretty old to begin with to do that. 11:58's the time, and it looks like we're going to have a pretty decent day today, a good day to get out and cut your yard if you're able. I've got to plant flowers and just enjoy the sunshine. That's the big thing. Sunshine. Without it, it's a pretty dull day, isn't it? And I just wonder, in Alaska, when it's dark all winter, when I was up there, I asked someone from Alaska, I said, now, when it goes dark here for months of darkness, don't people get discouraged? He said, you better believe it. He said, we start having a bunch of suicides during those dark months. People get so discouraged. But it's easy to do. Sunshine just puts life in your body. Makes you feel good all over, doesn't it? Sunshine and warmth. Sunshine and cold is a little different. But still, sunshine is so important whenever it happens. Now, some parts of our country, the sun is shining more often than not. Some places hardly get any rainfall. I don't know where that would be, but I've heard that. There are places on the planet Earth that gets less than an inch of rain a year. And how they manage that, I don't know. Okay, so tomorrow we'll be back with some more prizes and a little bit of this and that. And I hope in the meantime, take good care of yourself and get some household work done outside the house now that it's warming up and the sun is shining. So we'll see you tomorrow shortly after, about 10:15, sometime around there. Okay. It's now about a half minute until noon. So what are you having to eat today for dinner? Anybody having sloppy joes today? Fried chicken? Mashed potatoes? Gravy? What? Hey, I'll see you tomorrow. Take good care of yourself, and we'll see you again on WWGH 107.1 in Marion, Ohio.
WWGH Radio LP Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For former coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Jim Tressel.
You know, it's interesting because everybody knows the story, obviously, of what happened there. But when that all was going down, because that's a rough period, that's a rough year. And, you know, as it comes out in Sports Illustrated that, you know, these emails were flying around on April 2nd and on December 9th, you publicly said you didn't know anything about it, and it all came down that way. Do you wish you had said, yes, I know about it on December 9th, or had reported it earlier?
Oh, gosh, I'm not sure that you have all the dots connected there. But if you ask, do I wish, throughout the course of the entire situation, that we would have made some different decisions, you know, without a doubt. But I'm not sure you have it exactly right.
What did I have incorrect? I want to be correct with this.
Oh, you know, that's for you to try to figure out and you know, for you to know or not know. But you know, it came down the way it did.
To former Ohio State marching band director, John Waters.
From what I understand, the defamation lawsuit is a million-dollar lawsuit. I think that's what's been reported. Who knows if that's correct or not. But if they said, John, we made a mistake just like you said, come on back, would you drop the lawsuit?
Yeah, you know, we'd have to consider all the